The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Sparkling water, lemon, osmosis, carbonated.
Welcome back to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O, cool water. Not if you live in the village of Housatonic. Today on And So It Flows, I'm sitting down with Talia Lischauer, or Lissauer, of the Berkshire Eagle, a water journalist whose recent reporting has broke open the Housatonic waterworks fiasco that's been going on for maybe 100 years, according to some records showing 1911 when they first started having complaints about this water provisional company. It's about the facts, the accountability, and why local journalism still matters. We do a series here called Berkshire Water Beat, and happy that Talia's going to be with us second half of the show, so tune on in. I'm your Super Waterman, Ambassador for Water. We're going to start off with a little bit of really cool music, and this is Melissa Etheridge, Bring Me Some Water. You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. I'm your Super Waterman, Ambassador for all things H2O.
All in love is fair. I turn you the cheek, and I feel the slap and the sting of the foul night air. And I know you're only human, and I haven't got talking room. But tonight, while I'm making excuses, some other woman is making love to you. Somebody bring me some water. You see I'm burning alive. Can't you see my baby's got another lover? I don't know how I'm gonna survive. Somebody bring me some water. Can't you see it's out of control? Baby's got my heart and my baby's got my mind. But tonight the sweet devil, the sweet devil's got my soul. This aching pass, will this night be through? Wanna hear the breaking glass? I wanna feel the steel of the red hot truth, and I'd do anything to get it out of my mind. I need some insanity for that temporary kind. Tell me, how will I ever be the same when I know that that woman is whispering your name? Out of control.
sat down on the patio to have a smoke. I didn't expect it to go where it goes, but it goes, and I know. Tell who we can do that is still get home. You're alone. Grab your cell phone, call me up. We can Netflix and tell who we can do that is still. I know. Yeah, I know. I am a sinner. You are an outie. We're in a tubing down the river. I am a sinner. You are an outie. We're in a.
Don't rock the boat, baby.
Rock the boat.
Don't tip the boat over.
Rock the boat.
Don't rock.
You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O, where the ocean is never that far away from the Berkshires, which is actually a couple hours away, but we feel really good about having a show from Pittsfield, rock and roll show for water, and really, it's all about bringing the grunge back to our water supply, so... Definitely got some grunging going on, because today I'm going to be joined with Talia Lissauer of the Berkshire Eagle, who wrote this incredible story, breaking open the Housatonic Waterworks, because a free press keeps public power honest and public water honest. Find us on Apple, Amazon, iHeartRadio, Podcast Republic, and anywhere you get your podcast, make sure to like, subscribe, and share it with your water-loving friends. A little bit more coming your way. Look this up, and this is something that the conversation that I have with Talia is going to go to. If you wait another 7 minutes, she's coming right on. But according to reports, it's looking like the United States faces an estimated $744 billion to over $1 trillion in deferred maintenance for water, wastewater, and stormwater infrastructure over the last 20 years. Local governments, like the one in Great Barrington, which bear up to 85% of these costs. And this is really showing us that the Housatonic Waterworks is the tip of the national iceberg around water infrastructure and water investment. You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. Super psyched. We bring grunge back to water again. Find us on Apple, Amazon Music, iHeart, Podcast Republic, and anywhere you get your podcasts, because water matters. A little bit of, let's see what we got here. We got a little bit of poetry. This one is a poem, I Dare You to Tag Your... What's the name? I dare you to tag your water faucet or something like that. And this is Whitney Hansen bringing this over to us. And thanks again, Whitney, for making this available.
There's a leaky faucet in my mind, and it keeps dripping and dripping and dripping, and I can hear it in the background all the time, and I suppose we could give this leaky faucet a name if we wanted to, and I suppose we could name it after you, but admitting that I can't get you out of my head feels like a battle I'm losing, because I know that there isn't a leaky faucet named after me in your head, and I know that you aren't getting distracted by the dripping while you're driving to work or cooking dinner or laying in bed staring at the ceiling. So for the sake of my pride, I'm just going to pretend that it's a leaky faucet, but on the off chance that you can hear it too, I wanted you to know that I'm thinking of you.
We stayed at a high-end hotel, and this hotel had a Japanese toilet in there. I don't know if you guys know about Japanese toilets. You're already clapping. You have a look of satisfaction already on your face. For the rest of you that don't know, these toilets, they do all the work for you. You don't even look back there, all right? You just worry about front-of-house business. They take care of back-of-house for you. And I didn't know that. I was in a rush. I just sat down, and while I'm sitting there, I noticed there's all these buttons on the wall, and each button has a drawing of what's going to happen back there if you happen to hit one of these buttons. And listen, I'm a human being with natural, curiosities. And I was like, oh, hell yeah. But I'm also a little tepid. I'm a little scared sometimes. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. You know? It's like, what if I love it? You know? Like, what if there's no going back? You know what I mean? What if I miss my flight home because I'm stuck in this hotel room just like, another round, Johnny? Like, you know what I mean? What if this changes my outlook on life? And then I noticed they had a second set of buttons underneath. It was numbers 1 to 10. It was how hard you wanted the water pressure back there. So I started at a 1, right? At a 1. It's my first day at the gym. I'm not maxing out. I'm just hopping on the elliptical for 10 minutes, getting a little sweat on the brow. That's all I'm looking to do. So I started at a 1, and I'm like, well, hello. And about 90 seconds later, I had that thing pegged out, and I'm like, yeah. Game changer, dude. I've never had a toilet change my mood before. Like, I sat down in a bad mood. I got up in an amazing mood. Like, colors were brighter. I was more optimistic. I felt taller. God, I love that toilet. Sometimes I would sit on it when I didn't even need to go. I just treated it like an afternoon coffee, you know, like a Starbucks at 3 p.m. just to get through the rest of your day. I'd sit down, yeah, and I'd bounce off. Let's go look at some more temples, baby. Daddy's got a second wind. Amazing toilet. Amazing toilet. The aim on that thing, just spot on. There's no... I just sat down. This thing didn't even know my name. It was like, there you are, right there. It's like, whoa, who invented you? An engineer, probably. Someone who's great at math. What was that equation? A squared plus B squared equals bullseye. We got him, fellas.
Northern line, we say goodbye the final time. Pretend that we meant something more than this. When the memories you left behind remind me you were never mine, the lonely train you left without a kiss. The golden girl, the silver spoon, the eyes like pearls, they wept too soon. I stumble on the photograph to see the lucky man to take my place. Cloak and dagger from the start, you twist the knife into my heart. Watch my eyes bleed tracks upon my face. Me, you lost the will to live when you lost the will to give. Take it with a little left inside. Time was never on my side. Me and you were just around.
You are listening to And So It Flows, the only show for H2O. I am Super Waterman, your ambassador for water. And So It Flows, we air every Tuesday at 2 p.m. on WTBR 89.7 Pittsfield Community Radio. We bring water culture from the heart of the Berkshires to all over our water world. Find us on Apple, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Podcast Republic, and anywhere you get your podcasts. Make sure to subscribe, share, and review. Today, we start with Pete Seeger, waist deep in the Big Muddy.
Well, actually, we don't start with Pete Seeger because Pete Seeger was in a previous show, so you're listening to And So It Flows. I'm your Super Waterman, ambassador for water. Super psyched to be with you today. One of our many episodes, what I call Berkshire Water Beat. And today I'm sitting down with actually up-and-coming incredible reporter who has a big story to share, Talia Lisauer. Talia, thanks for joining our water-loving fans around the world. And tell the water-loving fans a little bit about what you're up to and from where you came and, like, how'd you land up here in the Berkshires?
Well, I'm Talia. I'm from Minneapolis, Minnesota, but I just graduated from Boston University in May and started here in June. I cover South County, about half of South County. My main town is Great Barrington. And so, yeah, that's it.
So there, how long have you been specifically reporting professionally, not so much in the region, but including the Boston Globe and wherever else you've been published?
I started journalism in high school, where I worked for my high school paper. I was the profiles editor and then news editor and then editor-in-chief. And then I went on to college, where I worked for my student paper, the Daily Free Press, at BU. And I got a co-op at the Boston Globe when I was between my sophomore and junior year. So for 6 months, when I was 19 to 20, I worked full-time at the Globe covering breaking news. And then they kept me on as a correspondent.
Wow. So what does that actually mean, a co-op?
It means that I, for 6 months, worked full-time as a reporter.
Wow. Cool.
And then I worked as a correspondent. So I worked nights and weekends. I had a reoccurring shift on Saturday. So I worked the Saturday day shift, covering any breaking news, any events, and then took, you know, holiday and night shifts, occasionally overnight shifts. And yeah, I worked at the Globe until I graduated in May and started here.
Well, that's great. So the life of a reporter, okay, subject matter aside, what's that like? Okay, so let's say you're working overnight or breaking news. What kind of things are you doing to source the material to make sure it's accurate, to make sure, you know, it gets published? What kind of stuff do you go through? What kind of hoops do you have to jump through?
I mean, it's all about human connection. It's all about talking with people, building sources, going back and verifying, using your resources online, social media. But it all comes down to people and confirming with real people.
Yeah. Yeah. Double checking your work. It's kind of like being Santa Claus, but different. Because you got to check your list, check them twice, three times. Do you run it through spell check, or do you run it? You ever go into the room with the senior editors and say, "Well, do they have, like, what happens? What's that like?"
Every paper is different, but they have the same core of you're going to submit a story. You're not going to submit it until you think it's clean, meaning there's no grammar errors, spelling errors. You fact-checked everything. So once you feel like it's ready for the world, then you're going to set it to the editor, who is going to decide if it's ready or not. And sometimes there'll be a few changes. Sometimes they're going to send it back to you. But at every newsroom that I've worked in, it's a collaborative process with the editors. They're going to make sure that you are putting out your best work.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone's kind of working together.
Wow. Okay, so you ever have any stories pushed back at you and never see the light of day?
I'm sure I have. I'm sure I have, but nothing really comes to mind. Sure, a story might time out where it's no longer relevant. But if it, you know, a story, if it's not ready, then it's not ready. But it's very rare that a story is going to be written and then not get published.
Yeah.
A lot of stories will get, I'll scrap them before I finish writing them. Maybe it's because, you know, the sources didn't end up, you know, having anything super newsworthy.
No.
Or there's just not enough there right now. Or it's, you know, too old and the time has passed. So, you know, a story is not really going to get into fruition if it's not going to see the light of day.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And the one that you just worked on, what was the full title? Because when I saw it, I was at a Stewart's over the border in the New York side of the border, because where we are in the Berkshires, for those who may not be familiar with our geographic location, we're at a part of Massachusetts and New York where they almost came to battles over which would be which. So I was on the New York side currently, as the map is drawn currently, and I saw this, you know, the Berkshire Eagle Weekender edition, which is, I guess, the Sunday edition. Mm-hmm. And then it's on top of the fold, which is, you know, good prime corporate or any kind of real estate when it comes to journalism. You want to be seen. So this story has been going on for how long? Not so much this particular article, but one of the things I saw in the article was since 1911, the first complaints.
Yes. The first time that the state recommended a form of filtration was in 1911. Now, that filtration did go into effect in 1939, but it sets off this pattern of complaints. And the state reported that between, you know, 1911, I believe 1933 or 1931, they received numerous complaints about the taste and odor of the water. So, you know, I was really lucky when reporting this story because the Eagle has been covering this persistently. The Eagle has, you know, dug deep into this issue several times over the last 100 years. And so the information was all there. Someone just had to put it together.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are you finding when it comes to, like, you mentioned 1939 just now, the last time any kind of infrastructure improvements were made. That was the time of the New Deal, FDR, where the federal government paid for this kind of infrastructure development. And we've just been through, lack of infrastructure development for quite some time. Were there any complaints coming from the company about infrastructure deferred maintenance? Were there any, like, did you see any direct correlation to lack of investment to what do you expect? This is what you're going to get.
I mean, a little bit. A lot of the problems really do come down to funding. It's a lot of, you know, wanting state funding, but it is a private company. And when you have a private company, your resources kind of in that realm, especially with grants, are limited. And so a lot of it did come down to funding. It was just a mix of funding and also being a private company that made any progress so difficult.
What are you finding when you're checking into this? Are you finding any pushback from checking into it or leave it alone or don't try and rip open a Band-Aid or any kind of, you know, hesitance to share the full story?
I think everyone wants to see change. Everyone wants the situation to be fixed. They don't think there's anyone, you know, intentionally working against it. And so I did not find, you know, a lot of resistance as I was reporting this. There's a lot of people that can't speak on it because there's things in the movement. There's the town is hoping to purchase the company. which means that because they're in executive session, the select board isn't able to speak on the topic. So there are, you know, separate factors at play that, you know, prevent people from speaking on the record. But I don't think there's anyone working against having clean water, which makes, again, which just made this process so much easier than it could have been in a worst case scenario.
Yeah. You know, for those of you just tuning in, you're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. I'm your super water man, Leslie Gabriel, your ambassador for water. We're bringing you water news, water culture, deep water talk from the hills of the Berkshires to all around our big blue marble. And super psyched to be in studio today with Talia Lissauer, who works with the Berkshire Eagle and many other publications in her belt so far. It's pretty exciting covering water. Okay, so we have this thing that's going on, what, 115 years with complaints and upsets and inability to make investments into the infrastructure. Are you seeing, like, what promise? Did anyone make a promise to you in your interviewing of them? Did any quotes come through as like, wow, this is exciting and we have to follow up on this? Or is it still like a bad and wrong water company and a poor defenseless residents who don't have access to water? Like, what is there any movement that might come from here?
I think there definitely is some potential movement, which is really why we wanted to do the story right now. There is potential for a lot of progress in the next few years. Obviously, we don't know what's going to happen. And I think a lot of the players don't even know what's going to happen. But we have an attempt by the town to purchase the company. They put in an offer in November. We don't have many details, but there is a executive session slated for this Friday for the select board to be discussing it. They've been discussing it a lot recently, which that it brings in the town purchasing brings in a bunch more layers and a bunch more questions, but that could be moving. We've got some initiatives for private filters that have been described as, quote, game changers by citizens, and also has support from the town in helping to fund.
Yeah, that's like the Housatonic Filter Initiative.
Yes. They
are kind of doing an end run around the company and saying, okay, at least if you're going to have this water, make sure it's clean or you have some kind of funding for it.
Yeah, so they are working hard to help people get these whole house filtration systems installed. And they have support from the town, including some state funds that are meant to help, you know, supplement kind of the impact of not having clean water. And then the last piece is there is a state deadline looming for a manganese filtration system. And so that deadline is a little bit up in the air right now, but it is expected to be complete by summer. Again, it's been pushed back several times. We don't know what's going to happen, but that deadline is in place and the company has to submit monthly reports updating their progress in this. So there are a lot of moving pieces that, you know, could have potential to make some real change for these people.
That actually, it would be good to see. And, you know, as someone who's like, I've coached people in the area of, you know, starting businesses or t-ball for my kids or, you know, like basketball and wrestling and that kind of stuff. So from the framework of a coach or sports dad, they kind of push, they're supposed to push you. That's the relationship for you to be better. So in the world of coaching, there's been a whole lot of talk on this issue, and the action is now the missing piece. And it's scary to take action because then there will be movement and you're not sure how it's going to turn out. My thought is, you know, journalism is part of that. Obviously, people can see with their either own eyes, ears, experience, and then written word to tell the story of a whole bunch of lack of action or non-action. You know, like non-action is a form of action. What did you get any deeper around the increases in the cost for a user and the lack of putting in the promised manganese filter and like why that was? Do you have any info on why there was a, we're going to defer this thing that we promised?
Again, it all comes down to money. It's a really expensive project, and in order to put it in, rates would have to be raised to a rate that, you know, customers don't want to pay unless there's an immediate guarantee for clean water.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's kind of left them at this impasse of, well, we need money to put in this filter, but you will have to pay a lot of money for it to happen, and then we're still on our own timeline for putting it in. And, you know, when you've been going through this for decades, people don't want to pay more unless it's an immediate fix. And so it's kind of just left this into a constant, it's been a cycle of rate hike hearings with the state.
But there have been rate hikes, and the promise mm-hmm. was to put in this filtration system, green sand filtration, I believe mm-hmm. it is. And then that wasn't done. And was there any impact to the company that they didn't do the thing that they said they would do when the rates would be increased?
So we're in the middle of a 5-phase rate hike. So the first hike went into effect, and the work that came out, the work that was supposed to be completed based on that increase, was completed. And the second hike isn't allowed to go into effect until... It's not allowed to go into effect until the filtration system is up. So we are kind of waiting. And
what's the cost on that filtration system? Did you get any feedback on that?
Yes, I believe it's $1.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, something around there. It's a pretty hefty price tag. That's how much they're putting in. Several million dollars in improvements
mm-hmm.
to based on this rate hike. And that money is kind of in the process of being coming in. The other thing we're waiting on is approval from the DPU, the Department of Public Utilities, to approve two loans for the company, which will allow them to put in this filtration system.
Will there be any kind of special master for these funds to be properly allocated in a way that you can actually say, okay, the work has actually been done, here's your money? And because the way it's been going is not that. So it's kind of coming from the world of, you know, if you want to talk in the world of politics, you got, you know, Ronald Reagan who said, trust but verify.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, from the world of coaching, it's like, don't just expect, inspect. So is the town of Great Barrington putting together their own team to verify that the work is going to be done?
The town, especially the new town manager, Liz Hartsgrove, is very committed, has expressed in the past that she's very committed to getting this clean water. And part of that was she has now gotten approval from the state that she will be CC'd and the Board of Health on, she will be CC'd in emails, to the company from the state. For example, there is currently a state of water crisis, a state of water emergency in Housatonic. And so the company is using their plan B, which is they're hooked up to the fire district's water. And the town did not know about that order until the company put out a press release. And so in response, the town will now be CC'd on communication from the state to the company.
Yeah,
and so we've got that's one piece of the way that I think the town is trying hard to, in hopes of, you know, this time being different.
Yeah, I get, you know, it comes down to, will there be follow through? Because mm-hmm. it's really easy to talk.
Yes.
And it's also very easy to take action. Once we get ourselves out of the way to take the action that would be of beneficence to the folks who are in the community. And for those who are just tuning in, you're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. We're here at 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield Community Radio and 88.1 WSBR in Lee and anywhere you get your podcasts. Super psyched to be with Talia Lisauer from the Berkshire Eagle having our little episode of Berkshire Water Beat. So, okay, Housatonic Water, great. There's other issues around water in our region that are directly related to the Housatonic River that flows through our valley. Have you been going to any of the EPA meetings or any of any other meetings regarding PCBs?
That is handled by our Lee town reporter. So Tara Monistat has been covering that pretty. She's been pretty on top of it.
Okay.
So she's pretty focused on that. Where ironically, Housatonic Water Works is their water is from Long Pond, not the Housatonic River.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure that makes a huge difference for the quality of water as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the bottom line is, what other things have you been covering in South County that might be water related? Anything that you might be covering or are covering or soon to release?
Not much that is, you know, water related. I think there's a lot happening. There's a lot of big projects, major infrastructure projects that kind of tie into the water because this rate hike is they're raising rates 90% over five phases to put in $4.5 million worth of improvements, which includes the big filter. But so in order to do that with a rate hike, residents are therefore paying more and are, you know, less interested in sponsoring other major projects. Uh-huh. And so they just approved the big school renovation. They've got a lot of bridges that need repairs. There's the Ramsdale Library project. There's a lot of big projects that are really expensive that, you know, ties back into water because it's just more money that Barrington, especially Housatonic, has to pay.
Yeah, it's part of the game. It builds itself, or a lot of its marketing material for Great Barrington is it's one of the top 10 towns in America, according to Smithsonian Magazine and a few others. And by having such a high bar,
mm-hmm.
that means, for me, if I'm the best town in America, would I want to have water for my people? And bridges that work. And railroad crossings that are safe. That's what's part of being the best town in America. It's more than simply the coffee shops, the SoCo Creamery, or Railroad Street, or just the Mahawi Theater, mm-hmm. all of which lie within the town of Great Barrington. But being the best town is more than that. It's part of that, but more than that. So, you know, bringing attention to that, great. When you were at the Boston Globe or any of the other publications, did you ever cover anything around water? Or was this like a special love that you had? Or
I have never, you know, covered a community that has had water problems like this. I'm sure I've had stories related to water problems. I've definitely covered water main breaks before. Those are not, you know, unique to Housatonic Water Works. But no, for the most part, I'm fairly new to covering this type of crisis.
Uh-huh.
And so I've been doing it very consistently for the last 6-7 months. And yeah, it was a learning curve at first, but it just happened that it's a community that I cover. It's a major problem. And therefore, I don't have a choice but to cover it and to do it and to totally ingrain myself in it.
Yeah, it's important to have that point of view, because the first thing that people need before a nice house, food on the table, like water.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the preamble of our Constitution of the United States, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So when you have life, water is there. So another question for you is, are there any other articles that you're working on that may not be water related, or
that you want to point to as some of your work so people could look for it?
I can't share what I have upcoming, but I've done a lot of work over the last few weeks on as Great Barrington kind of reflects and also prepares for more ice activity. There's no official statement or anything that they are coming back, but you know, the town is really impacted over the spring, and so they're working hard to, you know, be ready if they come back. And so I've been doing a lot of work revolving around that, and they're revisiting their trust policy. And with that, there's also been a lot of protests and activism.
Yeah, I think this part of the country has actually been on the spear of, you know, taking care of each other in a way that surprised the federal government at first, because it was one of the first places, I think L.A. and then the Berkshires, for some reason. You know, it's like people don't have better things to do than wearing masks and hound people. The bottom line I would see is the people of Berkshire County care very much about how people are treated. Not only that, care very much that their federal government doesn't turn into a goon squad. I think that that's part of it. In Minneapolis, are you from Minneapolis?
I'm from Minneapolis, yes.
Yeah. Are you familiar with where Alex Pretty got shot, or and or Renee Good?
Very much, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that your former neighborhood? Like, you know that area? Like,
I am from, it's an area called the Chain of Lakes. And so you can see my neighborhood in, you know, the maps that the news organizations put out of where these shootings took place. You can see my house.
I think it was a real turning point. There's like something that happens when people forget what they had or took it for granted. It happens a lot with the passing of parents, the passing of grandparents, and then you realize, oh my God, I really did love that human being. And you have that moment of reckoning. And I think America, regardless of your stripes, you want an America where you can walk down the street and you're not shot in the face three times. I think that's, and being that it's ice, that's water related. And I've had several shows so far about ice, regarding ice, because again, that's one of the benefits of having a show that's dedicated to water, is you get to talk about pretty much everything. So it's a free speech zone, and that I acknowledge WTBR FM for having the space for great content. And for those who are just tuning in, you're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. And if you're listening and you're driving through the area at 89.7 FM, or if you're down in Lee, 88.1, go to the WTBR FM website and click on that donate button, because we're the kind of local public station, like NPR for the working man and woman. And that's what's so great about this station, because we have access for people putting out the kind of content they want. So acknowledgement for WTBR. And got two more minutes, Talia. If people want to share a scoop with you, if it's about water or anything else, or if they want to find out about your different articles, where would they go? Like, how do they do it?
BerkshireEagle.com. Is the easiest place. You'll find everything there, including my email, which is the best way to get in contact with me. But yeah, if there's any stories, thoughts, pitches, feelings, concerns relating to South County, feel free to send them my way. You can find my email on the BerkshireEagle.com.
Yeah, people travel here from all around the world. Some of them are second and third and fourth homeowners who want to find themselves lost in some dirt road in the woods, and there are quite a few, and others are Great Barrington has become a focal point for things that are happening, and acknowledge you for doing the work that you're doing. And if, what was the title of the article you just wrote?
I just pulled it up. It was Bad Water, Broken Promises, Inside Housatonic's Century-Long Struggle with Waterworks.
100 years plus. Actually, 1911 was when they first started being talked about in a complaint fashion. So again, Talia, thanks again for, you know, coming to And So It Flows. Super psyched to have you on the show. And again, for those of you just tuning in, you're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. Let's see if we got a little bit of Fish, everybody's favorite. This is Waiting in the Velvet Sea.
Just yesterday morning, they let me know you were gone. Suzanne, the plans they made put an end to you. I walked out this morning and I wrote down this song. I just can't remember who to send it to. I've seen fire and I've seen rain. Seen sunny days that I thought would never end. I seen lonely times when I could not find a friend. But I always thought that I'd see you again. Won't you look down upon me, Jesus? You gotta help me make a stand. Just got to see me through another day. My body's aching and my time is at hand. I won't make it any other way. Whoa, I've seen fire and I've seen rain. Seen sunny days that I thought would never end. Seen lonely times when I could not find a friend. But I always thought that I'd see you again. Been walking my mind to an easy time. My back turned towards the sun. Lord knows when the cold wind blows, it'll turn your head around. Well, there's hours of time on the telephone line to talk about things to come. Sweet dreams and flying machines in pieces on the ground. Whoa, I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen sunny days that I thought would never end. I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend. But I always
thought that I'd see you, baby, one more time again now. Thought I'd see you one more time again. There's just a few things coming my way this time around now. Thought I'd see you, thought I'd see you.
You're welcome. It was so great to have you today. Listening to And So It Flows. Stay tuned. We've got so much great, good content. Remember to like and subscribe to the podcast. Look for And So It Flows anywhere you get your podcast from. Give it a like, a subscribe, and remember the Berkshires has something to say about water.
In the abundance of water, the fool will get thirsty.